So when did you come up with the idea to have a Count of Monte Cristo musical?
Well, I was introduced to it by an agent years ago, Brett Adams, and after sending out my material, and he introduced me to another writer, and eventually it turned into a script. And it's a long story, but I just love the idea of the story. I've always been attracted to all kinds of theater, including drama. And eventually I decided to write my own script because it's not easy to find collaborators in this field, but I felt that it required a lot of research. It's a 1,400-page book and a good understanding of history. And so I felt comfortable doing that. I have a background, not just in music, but also a Northwestern graduate in political science, so I'm always attracted to these things. But I think Broadway needs a serious drama, the likes of West Side Story, Les Miserables, Phantom of the Opera, things like that. And there isn't really that sort of thing going on now, and I think that the public would like a new show like that.
I mean, watching the stage reading, the shortened stage reading of Count of Monte Cristo a couple of weeks ago, I definitely see that you're heavily influenced by very good theater, like the plays that you mentioned, you know, Les Mis and things like that. Is that what you were kind of trying to go for, like something in that vein?
Well, yes and no. I love those things. Like any theater buff, I grew up listening to West Side Story and all those things. But while I'm influenced by that and Richard Rodgers, and especially the orchestrations of his shows, Robert Russell Bennett, you know, I want to write my own style that's contemporary, that ultimately people might say sounds like this or that, but I would hopefully say they would say it sounds like James Baer. No one said Leonard Bernstein sounded like Gershwin, and Gershwin sounded like Romberg. I'm always trying to create my own style, but it's always said about composers from the days of Beethoven, we always borrow. In fact, there's a cute little expression, I'm trying to remember, good artists borrow, great artists steal. You ever heard that one?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit exaggerated, but, you know, Beethoven knew Mozart, Mozart knew Bach, and we're always building upon the people that we admire.
Okay, at the same time, in spite of the, you know, the classic theater references in your work, there's a lot of, you know, contemporary and even some pop motifs, and some of the songs in Monte Cristo, they flowed very quickly, you know, and that's not something that you see too often in theater, so I think you definitely have something a little bit different there. What was the ideology behind that?
Well, not to sound like I'm an old guy, and I'm not, but I grew up liking things like West Side Story, My Fair Lady, South Pacific, you know, so-called the golden era of Broadway, when it wasn't just one nice, memorable song in the show, but many. I mean, who did that better than Richard Rodgers? And so it's always my opinion that a really great Broadway musical should have many songs that are catchy and memorable, and that's always my goal. You know, if you want to write very complicated things, you can do that, but I think ultimately people like to walk out humming and whistling the tune, and I try my best to accommodate to that. And so I'd like to think that I specialize in melodies that way.
Okay, from the actors that performed in the stage reading, how many do you believe will be, you know, in the performance once it gets picked up?
It's a good question, and you know, I don't want to say anything right now because obviously if anything changes, I'd have to talk to them directly. To be honest, in putting this together, I originally viewed the review as kind of half concert, just a chance to give a taste of the music, and I picked singers who I thought were good, but sometimes a good singer isn't necessarily the right actor, and of course in the future, Jay Michaels, who was the director and did such a nice job, we would be going reviewing everything in terms of making sure that it's not just the right voice, but the right personality on stage and the right look. So, yeah, will there be changes? Absolutely. And we'd have to be having more public auditions and trying to get the best people. There may be some shuffling around with who's there in terms of the future. I might also add that this was very much abbreviated. There are five primary characters, including a character named Villefort, who was a prosecutor, who had to be cut in order to make this preview work as a 50-minute version. So there may be some shifting around that way as well.
Okay, what were your thoughts of the performance after it finished?
part of the problem with performance was that we had a near catastrophe the day before the previous theater. I called up, the performance was on Tuesday, and I called up the original theater I booked on Monday morning just with a simple question like, oh, gee, can we put food in the refrigerator or something silly like that? And then I found out that the place had been shut down because of a fire code violation, and oh my God, of all the nightmares that you go through, imagine trying to scramble to get a new theater on a day's notice and contact hundreds of people you invited to let them know. But didn't Irving Berlin write, there's no business like show business, right? So you know, you just did it, and Jay Michaels was such a wonderful help. We located Roy Arias, and you know, it saved our being able to do this production so that people could come, but it also caused a new problem, which is that it was a theater double the size of what I originally planned. And as you know, it's a 30-piece orchestral track that we've used, and the theater was so large and the acoustics were so challenging that it created one of the big problems, which is that the music was just too loud. And, you know, I was standing there in the back trying to balance it, but what I heard in row 20 wasn't what people heard in row 2 next to the speaker. So that's one of the first things I have to correct. And a smaller theater and a better acoustic situation would, of course, solve that. And people did come, and I liked the music, but the orchestra was loud. And of course, I'm disappointed that happened, but next time, hopefully the theater will be that I choose won't close down the day before.
Okay, so do you want to talk about some of the other things that you're working on right now? I come to know that you're working on something for the Planet Connections Festival?
Yes, thank you for asking. I'm also working on another musical. It's called Galileo, of course, about the great astronomer and scientist, and it's part of the Planet Connections festivity, and I'm collaborating in this one with Marisol Torelli Rivera, who is the scriptwriter, and I'm also, of course, doing the music and the lyrics, and it's an interesting story which ties in the tyrannical situation that Galileo famously faced in having to recant his ideas about orbiting around the sun and the planets and, of course, the moons of Jupiter, and how the Pope and the Church had forced him to be publicly humiliated. But the interesting take on this is not just that we tie in with what Galileo experienced, but that we tie it in with a modern-day character named Holden, who is a scientist from Harvard who's talking about global warming. And he's being menaced by Congress. And, of course, we have some right-wing senators and congressmen who seem to think the whole thing is a hoax, even though nearly a quarter of the Arctic's ice cap has melted. And it's a statement about whether we really have gone as far as we think nowadays, that we still have a lot of people with crazy ideas who are threatened by science and facts, and that in some ways we still are in trouble, and that modern science and music and arts are in trouble. And so it's an interesting tie between those days and nowadays, and some scary things that are going on right now.
Okay, is there anything else that you'd like to say about Count of Monte Cristo or Galileo or anything else that you're working on?
Well, sure. You know, like anyone, of course, we need support. You want the best possible cast, but it takes money. And so obviously we're hoping for support to eventually come into our musicals so that we can try to make this the best thing possible. I'm an artist at heart. I'm a Juilliard graduate. Just want to do the best possible thing, too. But anyone who listens, you know, actors have to make a living. And so, you know, we're just looking to go ahead and hope that the producers and the intelligentsia and the industry might be willing to be open-minded and take a look at this. And quite frankly, take a look at anyone, because the field is becoming very challenging. A lot of these producers who have clout are just not willing to communicate, and I, like many people, are running into this difficult situation. I kind of envy the composers and the writers of one or two generations ago, and the old Brill Building stories, where you actually could still call them up, get them to listen, and it's getting to be very hard. You know, my other musical is also the same issue. I have one called Dream Quest and another one called E-Love, but ultimately it's about getting support, and that's what we're trying to do right now.